Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. Today, we want to talk about a few dropshipping niches you might want to avoid. And more specifically, avoid the guru who's giving you a list of dropshipping niches that you should go into. I think that's really the premise of this. They're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. I've got a list of 500. Come sign up for my course. And man, if we can talk you out of doing one thing while you're dropshipping, it's signing up and grabbing a list like this and believing it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these have been going around the internet for like forever when it comes to dropshipping, high-ticket dropshipping. And I think, you know, I like to look at them, you know, every year these people and, you know, whoever they are, I'm not going to name names, bring out these new lists. Look, it's basically everybody except for us. Let's just be real here. Bring out these new lists and I think they get more ridiculous every year, I think. That's been my observation in recent times. Like some of the ideas are just trash. They're just trash. And it's like these people wouldn't go and do it themselves 100%. And then they're saying to everybody who doesn't know any better, you should definitely do this, man. You should definitely do this. And like, yeah, it's wild. It's wild. So what we don't do is put out a similar niche list, primarily because you're building your own business, man. You got to go through this process yourself and work it out. Certainly we talk about how to do it right. In fact, we've done some recent episodes on how to find, you know, a great niche in 2024. If you look back a few episodes, you'll find that one. But I'm happy to say some ideas that you shouldn't do for sure, because there definitely are some ideas out there that are not great for high ticket drop shipping. And I think we can be pretty open about those. And we have been. But that's what we're going to do today.
I don't understand. I guess I do. Again, people often come into dropshipping looking for the panacea to their pain. They're looking for instant gratification. They're looking for something that's going to make them money immediately. And that's not what we teach around here. In fact, it probably turns some people off from us that we are honest that you're building a real business. This is going to take time. This is going to take effort. This isn't just throw up a site, run some ads, make a few bucks, and you're living in Dubai or whatever the fuck everyone else says. You're actually building a real business here. And so what I hate most about these lists is they'll put out a list and it's just products. Hey, sell this product. Hey, this product is hot. Or one of the recent ones I saw was like, I had AI help me figure out what products. And it's just like buzzword after buzzword and like, you know, really hitting the dopamine centers of people who are looking to, get rich quick, which is that's not what we're doing here. That's not what we teach here at Dropship Breakthrough. We want you to build a real business and serve real people. That's how you build something lasting here. And so I struggle with these, John, because somewhere in this big pile of shit is one or two good ideas. And I can't help but see the one or two good ideas. I'm an optimist at heart, but there's so many bad ideas in this. Like we have one list pulled up again. John and I aren't here to shit on anybody. I know Matt, if you're listening, Matt said, please call everyone out here. That's not what we do. So we were looking at a list and it's not great. You can probably find it yourself. And I don't know. There's a few in here that are just silly. Honestly, silly. Like, I don't understand why they're here. So let's name a few that if you've ever downloaded a list and they're on there, you should avoid.
Yeah, look, and I think that's right. I think that's the main thing to take from this is that everybody out there tells you to sing a single, like they say that a niche is like a single product category, right? And we've done a bit of a rant on this before, so I won't go into
to be fair.
Yeah, me. I'm always the rant guy. I won't go through the whole reason why that's not a great approach to think about a niche and blah, blah, blah. But it's always that, and it's just such a limited way of thinking about it. So, you know, I'm just going to go.
How do you want to do this? Do you want to just pick one and go back and forth?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Why don't we do that?
I mean, I'll go first. I see one on there. It's trendy as a motherfucker right now. I wouldn't do it. Ice baths. Like, it's just not something I would get into. I'll give you 100 reasons why. I literally attempted to sell them. I sold a few. But they're not it, man. They're not it. They're very much dominated by one big brand, the Cold Plunge. You are not going to be able to sell the Cold Plunge. The other ones that exist, like Ice Barrel, no one wants to buy a barrel that they have to put their own ice into. So you may sell some, you may not. It's a very manual process. Margins are not great. Tops out at where we like to start, which is $1,000 on some of those things. And so you're not going to want to sell those. There are other products that are, I don't want to call any brands out by name, but there's a few in there that are like really expensive. And you'll call the guy and they have a distributor who's in Salt Lake City. This probably narrows it down for a lot of people listening. And then they'll, yeah, would you like 4% margins or 5% margins? And it's like, what? That sounds really terrible. Also, their products kind of suck, so that sucks. There are a few brands out there that we found that were like making custom stuff that we could move some product on. In fact, I don't think moving product is going to be the hard part for you. I think it's actually making money. And so, you know, Brian Angel talked about this way, way back in the archives and in Minneapolis of him and I ran a store, standingdestination.com, where we did $1 million in revenue and made $0 in profit. And so like that might look fancy on some ad you might see on Facebook of like, look, I did $1 million selling standing desks, but you know, we didn't make any money. And I don't know about you, John, but I'm trying to run a business that actually makes profit. So I would put ice baths in that category. Certainly I'm a fan. I enjoy getting in an ice bath, a cold plunge. Wouldn't sell them. I might start selling. I might just reach out to the suppliers and be like, hey, I think we're going to get back into this when it's time to put the new ice bath in BK's new house here. But other than that, I don't think I'm doing that.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the product myself for sure. Definitely. But like for me automatically, like new products, trendy products are always an out for me. And there's not really, like, if you look at all of the possible niche ideas that you could do in high ticket dropshipping, this is only really ever at one point in time, a small percentage of them, right? But the one before ice baths was infrared saunas, right? I'm actually happy to see that that's disappeared from people's list, or at least the one we're looking at, because it was on there once before. Like for a period of time, trendy product, sold really well. Now, if you try to get into that, it's way too competitive because everybody knows it's a fucking trendy product, right? Like that should automatically be a signal not to do something to me, because everybody's going to think of doing that immediately and you're going to have 57,000 competitors the next day. And then, but also you tend to find those tend to be the spaces where the good brands are just doing direct to customer really well, right? And I'm not saying that you can't sell some of their products, blah, 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 but it's hard. It's real hard. But then once again, like ice baths isn't a niche anyway. Like, I mean, what are you going to do? Just sell ice baths to people forever? It's a really, really bad way of doing business.
I feel bad doing some of these shows, John, because I literally talked to someone today who's, yep, that's all they're doing is ice baths for a business. And I would certainly expand, right? And I think there are probably many people in our student base who this is one category. And I wouldn't be discouraged when we tell you, hey, maybe this category isn't going to work. It hopefully should be one piece of a large puzzle for you because you're targeting a fucking human like we teach on this podcast, right? And that human buys a lot of other products.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I would sell ice baths as part of something else for sure. But like, once again, pulling this off this list, when you read it, you're like, oh, I should go and start an ice bath business. Yeah, there's going to be one or two dudes that started an ice bath business and they were one of the first people to start it and they're going to win. But like, what are you going to do? Go and start exactly the same business as them and think that you're going to do any better? Like that, it doesn't work that way. So it's an out for me. I'm going to pull another one off, which I absolutely hate. Murphy beds, right? Do you know what a Murphy bed is, Ben?
I do, but I think you should explain it for the audience. Just so I know there was one point in my life I didn't know what a Murphy bed was.
Well, I don't even think we call them that in Australia. I don't know, but they're like the beds that like fold up onto the wall or into the wall or something, and like you pull them down.
So or like a cabinet. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're like good for like apartments and things like that. I think, and so, you know, like this is a niche idea. Murphy beds sell just Murphy beds. It's like, all right, so straight away, like it's homewares, it's furniture, like literally one of the most competitive spaces you could ever come up with, right, for high-tech dropshipping. I automatically tell people don't do homewares, usually, because it's real tough, real tough. Like immediately, who's the biggest seller of Murphy beds in the US? I'm willing to bet it's Wayfair. I'm willing to bet it's Wayfair, straight out of the gate. Real hard to compete with. There's no branding. There's no brands in furniture that people care about, or little to none, unless you're on the really, really high end. people don't shop based on brand. So the marketing is way harder. The only good thing I can say about these is maybe the price point is right, for sure. But then they're also big, right? They're big. They're not that expensive, right? They're really big. They're bulky. Shipping's a pain. People living in apartments buying them, you're going to have to deal with shipping companies wanting to get them up into apartments and things like that. Like, just it's just a nightmare from the start. And then what are you going to be like, murphybeds.com? Like Murphybeds.
It's funny you say that. I went over here to see like who's number one.
Is that site there?
Yes, it's all of it. Dude, literally number one is Murphy Bed Depot. Or no, number one is murphybeds.com. Number two is Costco. Number three is murphybeddepot.com. Number four is breadabeds.com. Number five is expandfurniture.com, Best Star. Like there's some big brands here. My screen went dark, by the way. I know this is a weird situation. Is your screen dark? Are we good to go?
No, we're good.
All right. Apologies. Technical difficulties. Maybe. I don't know. My screen went blank. So if you can still see me, we're good to go.
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, I can still see you. Yeah. So like Murphy Beds, Murphy Bed Depot for sure. Drop shipping, right? Or at one point, or maybe they were, it looks like they've got a physical location. I bet you they were drop shipping at some point. And it's like, okay, so your idea is going to be you're going to start a Murphy Bed store. So you're basically going to start exactly the same business that they're already running, right? And probably there's probably five others that already exist that are like the Murphy Bed store. And you're going to be the Murphy Bed store, like, except they're established and they're already making money. Like, what are you going to do differently? So it's just not a niche. It's not a niche. And pretending that you should go and start a Murphy Beds business is just a terrible idea. It's a terrible product for starters, and it's a terrible idea.
It's got a spin to win on it, John. Are you a spin to win kind of guy? For the listener, it's like when they have a big wheel and you hit spin and magically everyone hits the same exact discount. Are you a spin to win guy?
Oh, fuck, I hate those things. They're less prevalent than they used to be. I remember when they first, all the little apps came out that could do them.
Yeah.
Ironically, right about the same time that AliExpress dropshipping appeared out there, 5 or 6 years ago. I'm glad that these spin to win things have disappeared largely. I haven't seen one in a while. So if you're seeing one, they're fucking horrendous. Yeah, just horrendous. Funny,
like Mrs. Knagendorf falls for this shit. Like she's been married to me a while, and she's what
are you doing?
She was spinning it the other day, and she was like, "Should I keep spinning it? Like, I got this discount, but it says there's bigger discounts. Do you think I should just refresh and keep spinning?" I was like, "Yeah, do that. See what happens." Like, we're gonna reno a bathroom, and so like there was vendors at this like art fair thing, and her mom. Do you know what pull tabs are? Are pull tabs a thing in Australia?
Nope.
They're like little cards that you like, you know, pull the little tabs off of. And if you match three things, you win, right? They're very popular in bars over here. Anyway, so she like gets a pull tab from this thing. And it was like, oh, you get 20% off a renovation of your bathroom. So she saved it. And she was like, oh, I think I got one of the good winners. And then my wife like goes to their site. Or it was 20% off of one of the features of the thing. And like she goes to the site. And what does you think their pop-up says? Exactly what the pull tab thing said, that they were at the fair, and like I was just like, you guys, like, you talk to me a lot. I explain marketing pretty well, I think. I don't know, marketing's funny. To spend a minute is one of those things that I can't believe is still around. I get the gamification of it. I'm sorry, I got distracted, man. Spend a week. What else is on this this page here? The funny thing is this page has like every year ever, and so you can go back and see how progressively worse these things get.
Mm.
I feel like there's one on here that I don't understand. It's been around as long as I've been around. Is like optics and scopes. Is like if you go into this, you're gonna get flagged by Google. Like there's no way around this. Like if you sell things that have to do with, I don't even know, we can say this on YouTube without getting guns. Is that gonna get us banned? I might get us demonetized. If you sell those products, Google's going to have an issue with you. And it's not like some guy sitting at Google who like understands that you don't sell the actual item. You sell the accessories. Hmm. It's just an algorithm. And they're going to shut you down, and you're never going to be able to run Google ads. And then you're going to be like, one day you'll break through and you'll get approved. And the next day you'll get shut down again by another just like robot coming to check out your site. And so like, I think this is one of the dumber ideas I've seen on a list, simply because I've watched too many people go through this purgatory. of not being able to run Google Ads. And you know, when you're a high ticket dropshipper, you have to be able to run Google Ads. That's how you start. That's how you get sales. In fact, we have a future episode coming up of like, what does that actually look like in the beginning when you are driving clicks and stuff like that? So I know who's on here, Joshua, Jeremy, stay tuned, buddy. We got you on the list. We're going to answer one of your questions around that, but you have to run Google Ads and optics, scopes. There's a few other hunting type items that I see come up a lot that are just, it's never going to work in the beginning of what you need to do. If you want to play the long game, you want to create content, you want to do SEO, you want to make video content, you want to become an influencer, a hunting influencer, I think this could 100% work. I'm not putting it on my niche list, you know what I mean? Like hottest niches this year, 100% it's going on the bot. It's on our avoid these dropshipping niche episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I wouldn't, like, I know people out there who sell these products and have done for years. Once again, like, everybody knows hunting's really big in the US, right? So this is like a really competitive space. And that's my other problem with these lists. Like, people go through and make these lists you should do. And their research process for coming up with these lists is literally, what's a product and is it high ticket? And if it is, then it goes on the list. Like, they don't think, they're not actually telling you about like things like competition and other, you know, important factors in determining whether a product is a product you should sell. Like, it's a really competitive space. Like, I wouldn't do it for, I wouldn't do, you're absolutely right about the Google and Merchant Center and, you know, having things that are really closely related to a type of product that you can't sell. And yes, that probably will get you pulled into the misrepresentation vortex with Google and Google Merchant Center. But it, to me, it's just too competitive. That would be the reason I wouldn't do it either. Like, why do it if it's, why do something that's harder when there's so many ideas out there that aren't hard? So like, I mean, I don't know. Optics and scopes would be like, idea number 1,577 on my niche list, not like right up the top.
You're doesn't pretty, make sense. You know, I don't know if you're anti-hunting. You're definitely, you know, you have a different stance on America's beliefs around firearms and things like that. First off, is hunting a thing in Australia? Like, you guys sure, for the kangaroos or like no, what absolutely. Is hunted over there?
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. It is. There are guys and women that do hunting over here. Pigs, wild pigs, kangaroos. Wild pig. You know,
do you have deer?
Yeah. We do, not only in part, mainly in part of the country. It's not like a widespread thing, but not as widespread as in the US, for example.
Do you have any bears or just drop bears? Do you hunt those?
Koala bears. You can't hunt them.
Do you hunt you can't them hunt drop them. Bears?
You can't hunt them. No drop bears either. Look, I'm not against hunting. Like, people eat meat, right? I get that. I'm against hunting for no purpose. Like, I just don't... And to me, like, I just, I mean, so many people are probably going to hate me when I talk about this stuff, but like, I just think you're
why
like,
do you think I asked it, man?
Oh man, look at me. Like, it's the dudes that like pose with the dead animals and pretend like they're fucking heroes. Like, oh, look, I shot this thing from like 500 meters away. I'm such a man. Like, no, you're not, you fucking pussy. You shot it with a gun. Go and kill it with a fucking knife if you want to be a fucking hardcore cunt. Like, you know.
A knife.
Yeah, I just that person is just a weak individual. But if you're killing it, you're going to eat it, you're going to use it as a food source. Yeah, that like I get it. That's a healthy way to eat meat, right? Well, I get it.
Thank you for attending. You're going to butcher it
yourself. You're going to butcher it yourself. You're going to get your hands dirty. You're going to be a big man. Great. Good for you. Go and do it. Liver King style, whatever. But
well, thank you for attending John's TED Talk on hunting here. Next week, we will get him going on a new topic. I can't wait. Look, if you're wondering which niches to avoid, this is something we offer as part of our course. We have the five-day challenge. I don't even know if we call it the five-day challenge anymore. We have the challenge where you can work through this process, and it's built into the course where you can work through our entire process. We did a podcast on it a few days ago, and if you're stuck at that point, you can reach out. Every single person who's in our course can reach out and send John an email personally, where he will respond personally and tell you, hey, this is a good idea. This is not a good idea. And so, look, our whole point of this was don't go use the list. Use your brain. Find a person you want to serve. Find the products they sell. You want to use AI to do it. We talked about it in that episode. Again, it was 3-4 episodes back where we're talking about this. Episode 303. Excuse me, not episode 303. Episode 301, if you want to go check that out. We'd love to have you in the course if this is something we can help you with. And by all means, if you have a market, a niche, a product that you want John and I to personally do a good niche, bad niche on, we're always looking for ideas. Shoot us a message, support@dropshipbreakthrough.com. If you're in our Slack, say something in Slack, or in our Facebook group, say something over there. We'd love to literally talk about whatever it is you think you should sell or may want to sell, and we'll break it down here on the podcast for you.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.